Grace to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been going through a sermon series on suffering, and this will be the last sermon in this series. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about some of God's great purposes for us in suffering, and today I'd like to face this question with you. What about those times in our life when our suffering just doesn't make sense? It doesn't fit neatly into any of those categories or purposes that we've discussed so far. When God is acting and in a way that we don't understand. When he's acting, why he's acting the way he is, or why he's not acting the way we think he should. Has this ever happened to you? What when God's ways don't make sense to you? This can happen, and it's happened a lot in the Bible. So what do you do in those times? How do you keep faith? What's God want for you in those times when he doesn't make sense to you? And when we feel like we could give him a few pointers about how he could do things a little better. So today we're talking about when God doesn't make sense, especially in our times of suffering. What's God tell us about that in the scriptures? What's he say to his children? Well, the first thing I can say to you is, you're not alone. All the saints in the Bible have felt this way at some time or another, when God's ways did not make any sense to them. Let me show you a couple of examples, several. How about when the good sometimes die young? David, it says in 1 Samuel 18, verse 3, then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Remember the love between Jonathan and David? They were best of friends. They were inseparable. And Jonathan was a man of valor, a man of war who fought for the Lord and defeated the enemies of God. He was a righteous man, a good man, a faithful man in all things. He saved David's life on numerous occasions. Their souls were knit together. And yet, Jonathan died at a young age with his father Saul in battle. And when David heard of it, he said these words, Jonathan lies slain upon thy high places. I'm distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant have you been to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? Does that sound like to you David was confused maybe about God's actions with Jonathan? He was extremely sad. And have you ever known someone or have you yourself lost someone young, who was good, who seemed to die at too early of an age? Can you relate to that? Then David can relate to you, and you can relate to David. And this was a time when God just didn't seem to make sense. Why should a good, righteous, faithful, loving man of God die in his tender years? And at times like those, we ask, why, God? It just doesn't make sense. What are you doing? I don't understand your ways. Let's take another example. How about when the good sometimes suffer in life for no apparent reason? We could take a look at the life of Job in that case, who is a good man, a righteous man, faithful in all things, and yet, because of a contest in heaven, he lost everything. He was stripped of his house, his home, his children, his friends, his possessions, his health. And Job's trying to figure it out. God didn't make sense to him at all. He was totally bewildered. It was an enigma. Job says, did I not weep for those whose way was hard? Was not my soul grieved for the needy? But when I hoped for good, evil came. When I waited for light, darkness came. I loathed my life. Let me know why you contend them against me, God. Does it seem good to you to oppress, to despise the work of your hands and favor the designs of the wicked, although you know that I'm not guilty? Sound like a confused man to you? Sound like a frustrated man? Sound like a man who's confused because God's ways did not make sense to him? Sometimes those ways don't make sense to us when the good suffer for no apparent reason and for no sin of their own. What's God up to? Take another one. How about Joseph in a similar case? He was sold away into Egypt Father, I'll never see you again. Mother, I'll never see you again. Family, home, I'll never see you again. And then when I get sold into Egypt, I get a position with Potiphar. And then I get slanderously accused by his wife of committing adultery, and I get thrown into prison. And then when I help the butler and he gets out of prison, I say, remember me. He forgets me. God, what are you doing? What have I done to deserve this? What are you up to? You don't make sense. You ever felt like that? How about this? When God is extremely kind to his enemies. Jonah was a man who had this problem. God said to him, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call against it out against it the message that I tell you. Jonah's like, go to God's enemies? Go to these wicked people? These arrogant people? These idolatrous people? These godless people? What are you doing? And he went eventually, because God made him. They repented. God spared them according to his mercy. And we'd think Jonah might be pleased, but it says Jonah was displeased exceedingly. And he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord, oh Lord, isn't this what I said in my own country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I know that you're a gracious and God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from the disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Sound like he had a few issues. He was an angry man, a frustrated man. God didn't make sense. God, you're being kind to those who hate you. What's up? What's up? So it would seem sometimes with us and God, he doesn't make sense. Here's one more. How about Abraham? Abraham, I choose you. I call you. Abraham, don't fear. I am your shield. Don't fear. I will be with you. Don't fear. I will give you a promised son. And Abraham waited for decades. The son arrives, and God then says to him in Genesis 22, now take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer them there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Could you do that? Take your child, whom you love, your only child, the promised one you'd waited for, whom God gave in a miracle and promised great things through him, and then says, sacrifice him now to me. Did God make sense to Abraham when that happened? Was he going, oh, I see what you're doing? No. He was clueless. God, you don't make sense. Why? Why? He was probably asking inside, yet he obeyed. And so God often does make sense to us, all right? Most of the time he does, but sometimes he doesn't make any sense at all. His ways are a mystery to us. And we go, why? 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 Especially in our times of suffering, when his ways don't fit neatly into our little package and our box of how we think God ought to be operating. We think we could give him a few pointers. God, the wicked are ruling, the righteous are suffering. Good people sometimes die young. What's going on? This doesn't sound like you. How should we answer this? Well, what's God say to us? Well, some claim that there's something wrong with God. This is what a lot of people do. They say, well, maybe God's disinterested. Maybe he doesn't care. Or others say, maybe he's not around. Others say, well, maybe he's unjust. Some keep faith in times like this. Some lose faith in times like this. But all the saints have questioned, just like you question at times, not going knowing what God's up to. But hear what God says to Job. It says, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Will you even put me in the wrong? Will you condemn me that you may be in the right? In other words, as Moses says, the rock, his way is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, and upright is he. Can you trust him that he is in all times and all places and all events and all circumstances, even the mysterious ones, that he is just, right, and perfect, and all his ways are peace? It's true. But remember, the Lord is great, it says in the Psalms. Our great Lord above all gods, whatever the Lord pleases, that he does. in heaven and on earth, in the sea, and all deeps. He does whatever he pleases. So, above all things, God is just. We can't challenge that. So now, what's the answer? How might God enlighten us about his word when he doesn't make sense to us? The answer is very simple. We can find it in John chapter 13. We read here of when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, okay? It says, then he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? In other words, it doesn't make sense. You're the king. What are you doing? And Jesus answered him, what I am doing, you do not know now, but afterward you will understand. Amen? What I'm doing, you do not know now, but afterward you will understand. What I'm doing, you do not know now, but afterward you will understand. Can you find out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limit of the Almighty? It's higher than heaven. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol, what can you know? Its measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. So my main point now we come to. With God, there is classified information. You have that in government, where there's top secret information. You can't know it beyond a certain pay grade, as our president says. You can't in the military, we have classified information, which only certain select individuals at a particular rank are able to know. You practice this even in your own families. You don't even know it. Think about when your child first said to you, Mommy, where do babies come from? Daddy, where do they come from? Is there particular classified information in your own home that you practice with your children and you're not willing to have God practice it with you? At first you say, well, it's between the love of a mommy and a daddy. That's where babies come from. The child goes, cool, I'm done, that's great. Gets older, ask again. It's gotten to a higher rank, you give a little more of the classified information. You say, well, it's because of a great kiss that God has given between the man and the woman, a kiss of love. Oh, great, that's cool, I got it, mommy and daddy. And then you go on and you get to, more and more. And then there's a certain time when they have to know fully on their own the great mystery. But every level is bringing more wonders into the situation, which if given to the child at its immature or lower times will not make sense and would even scare them off. But God does the same with us. My question, if there's classified information in government, in the military, in your families, are you willing to accept it in your relationship with God? That there's classified information. And before you answer, consider Jesus, who said in Matthew 24, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Does that sound like classified information to you? Say amen if you believe so. That's classified information. Not even the Son, at least in his humility on earth, when he was among us, did not know the day or the hour of judgment. And Jesus says, what I'm doing you do not know now, but afterward you will understand. Can this apply to you? Let's go back to some of those examples we shared. How about when the good sometimes die young? That is a very sad thing. It rips our hearts out. And yet God gives us a comforting word. Afterward you'll understand. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 57. The righteous man perishes, and no one lays it to heart. Devout men are taken away, while no one understands. For the righteous man is taken away from calamity. He enters into peace. They rest in their beds who walk in their uprightness. And amazing. God says, nobody understands. No one lays it to heart. No one takes it in and gets it that they are entering into peace. Of course, on our side, this doesn't make sense. But it will in time. Job was a righteous man who suffered, and yet we understand that there was a great heavenly battle going on between God and Satan. Satan says, the only reason Job loves you is because you bless him all the time. God says, not so. Satan says, let me try. God says, you won't be able to break him. Satan says, give him into my hand. I'll prove you wrong. God says, go for it. Paraphrased, of course. But what happened in the end is Job held fast to his righteousness, although he was seriously buffeted and caused to almost be defeated, but he held fast to God. And God was glorified, Satan defeated, God restored the fortunes of Job, and we see that you've heard of the steadfastness of Job, James says, and you've seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. And Job said at one point, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Though he slay me, yet I'll hope in him. So what I'm doing, you do not know now. But afterward, you'll understand. How about with Jonah? Jonah was ticked off. He was angry exceedingly at God because he's showing mercy to these Gentiles. And yet, you know what? He didn't understand it then, but afterward, he would understand. That is what we learn in Ephesians 3. That, as Paul says, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. The mystery which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. What I'm doing you do not know now, but afterward you will understand. Joseph suffered, was ripped from his family, thrown into prison, left for dead, it seemed. But he said later, don't fear. As for you, you meant evil against me, my brothers, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Classified information. He didn't know at the time. Afterwards, it was to save the entire nation of Israel was the reason he suffered. Abraham, take your son and slay him on the mountain. That doesn't make any sense until you learn 2,000 years later, God took his only son onto that same mountain and sacrificed him for the sins of the world, Abraham foreshadowing this. Oh, what a great revelation. And Peter says, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus says, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterward you'll understand. And when he'd washed their feet, he put on his garments, resumed his place, and said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? Then he explained it. If I then, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Can you accept this then? Classified information. What I'm doing you do not know now, but afterwards you'll understand. Why should I go through 7 years of seminary and go through three different seminaries? Well, Pastor Menick, he wasn't ready to retire yet. Okay? And I got you. Praise God. Hindsight's 20/20. But in the midst of the storm, you're not able to see. Some things you may not be able to see and understand till you get to heaven. But can you trust him? When I get in an airplane, I don't really like to fly. I'm a sailor. But I trust that the pilot knows what he's doing. When I get under a knife in surgery, I don't know how to do it, but I trust that the doctor knows what he's doing. When I sail across the sea, or you sail across the sea, you might not know what's going on, but you trust the captain to know what's doing. Well, when you sail across or fly across or go under the knife of God in life, you trust he knows what he's doing. He's promised all things are good. And he has promised he has good reasons for everything he does. For now we see in a mirror dimly, says Paul, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I've been fully known. And isn't this the greatest mystery of all? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples were like, forget it. You're not going to that cross. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. That doesn't make sense to Peter's reason. None of the apostles wanted it. But Jesus rebuked him and said, I'm going. You don't understand now. Afterward, you'll understand. And all of Israel was expecting a king. But how did God come? He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Yet surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. That was our reason. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. And with his stripes we are healed. This is not as we expected it, is it? This isn't how we expected the king to come. This isn't how we expected to be saved. But when it was all mystery, all sorrow, all dejection, all fear for the disciples, when it was happening, they didn't understand. But afterward, they would understand. And I pray you understand. This is how God has saved us. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, the great mysteries of God. And so I ask again today, can you trust him? You're not in the place of God. You don't yet have his pay grade, nor ever will, nor are you at his rank. There is classified information with God. What I'm doing, you don't know now, but afterward you will understand. For my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know what the verse is before that? Therefore let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. When God says, my ways aren't your ways, and my thoughts than my thoughts, he's talking about the cross. He's talking about Jesus. This is Isaiah 55. He will abundantly pardon, and he abundantly pardons you through faith in Jesus Christ by his grace. Classified information. Here's the final verse then. Habakkuk, let's give him the final word. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor there be fruit on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, and the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet in all those I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Amen.